St. Mark writes in our gospel today that Jesus actually ordered everyone to keep this amazing miracle under wraps, to not spread this good news, not to talk about it. So let me ask a rhetorical question. Why would Jesus do such a thing? Was he shy? Was he fearful? No, he knows our human nature too well. He is simply very wise. He knows our tendencies of our fallen human nature. He knew that too many reports of miracles would lead to people thinking of him as merely a wonder worker, a miracle worker. This would feed the impression that he came to create a paradise on earth, that his kingdom was merely a really good earthly reign. And Jesus did not want to give that impression. He wanted to explain and to convince people that the kingdom of God went far beyond physical healing. The mission given to our Lord Jesus by his heavenly Father was to heal a much more serious, a much more deeper wound, to heal people's hearts, to heal your heart, my heart, that is to heal our relationship between us and our heavenly Father and God, and bring them and us back into communion with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, putting us back on the path to eternal life. His miracles were not the goal of his ministries. They did happen, and miracles still happen today, but they were simply signs of credibility, confirmations of the truth of his teaching, invitation to trust, and yes, to obey and to follow him. In order to give himself time to explain this, he ordered his followers from spreading the news about the miracles. But obviously it didn't work. We know later on in sacred scriptures, things were so difficult because he was so well known, he couldn't enter a town openly. The more the crowds heard about his wondrous deeds, the less it seems they actually understood what he was trying to preach, the less they understood them. And this became very clear as he approached his last days, as he approached his passion and death, his crucifixion. Although many people had been willing to be cured by him, and yes, even be raised from the dead, few were willing to follow him to Calvary. Few were willing to follow him to the cross. Few were willing to believe him about the truth in the Holy Eucharist. Even his closest disciples, 11 of the 12 apostles were not at the cross. The Blessed Mother Mary was there, St. John, the beloved disciple, and also Mary Magdalene, and some other holy women. That was about all the disciples were at the foot of the cross. The apostles denied or abandoned him during his passion. However, in the end, all the apostles would indeed return, with the exception of Judas the betrayer. And so, our Lord uses those miracles, to confirm the reality that we need to be healed and reconciled to our Heavenly Father, that our Lord has dominion over all aspects of our lives, and he wants to be our good shepherd, to shepherd us back to a true and loving relationship with God. In the lives of the saints, they knew this. The lives of the saints also remind us of this. They themselves, often had to have that wound of sin be healed in their lives first before they can actually went out and actually worked other miracles. Now, God is limitless in his power and goodness, and he uses the saints to help us, to inspire us, to give us encouragement. Now, there is the long-standing tradition of having patron saints, and this flows from the truth that we can be saints no matter what we live in our aspects of our lives, whether we are a lawyer. And yes, a lawyer can become a saint. Remember St. Thomas More, the chancellor and lawyer, in England. But no matter what your kind of career is, even a housewife or a carpenter, or a doctor, whatever it may be, we can, live and become virtuous and holy. So a patron saint also refers to a saint whose personal life experience or an aspect thereof relates to a general category of life experiences. And we can call upon them to help us in our vocations and in different tasks that we do. Take, for example, St. Francis de Sales, he was a bishop, but he made remarkable use of mass-produced pamphlets to win wayward people back, to win heretics back to the true church. As a result, he was named a patron saint of journalists and writers. And I really like his example. I like to give out pamphlets. I've already done one with the examination of conscience. I do on plan giving out other ones to help you along to grow in virtue and holiness. And sometimes the connection is less direct. As, for example, the patron saint of archers. I'm not sure everybody here has a hobby of archery in it. There may be a few people here. But St. Sebastian is the patron saint of archers. If you know his story, he was a martyr in the 3rd century. The first time they tried to execute him for refusing to worship pagan gods, they tied him to a tree and actually shot him full of arrows. Thus the origin of his archery patronage. They left him for dead, but when some pious Christian women were preparing his body for funeral, they discovered that he was still alive. They nursed him back to health, after which he returned to the emperor's palace to bear witness to Christ once again. And this time they made sure to finish the quote-unquote job, and they used clubs to beat him to death. And so I would encourage you to know your patron saint. Most everybody here has been confirmed. You actually chose a patron saint, a confirmation name. Now, they care about you. They want to be a good advocate, a good source of inspiration. Ask them to pray for you. Now, remember, the saints in heaven, they don't have to sleep. You know, we got to work, we got to eat, we got to sleep. Our patron saints, our guardian angels, they don't need to do any of that. They worship and love God, and they want to pray for you and for me to help us along our pilgrim way. And so maybe you also have certain tasks or endeavors. Maybe you actually aspire to a certain profession. You know, maybe look up what the patron saint for that profession is and ask for their help and their intercessions. There's also patron saints for particular areas of life. There's actually for patron saints who struggle with eyesight issues or cancer or other illnesses. We can always turn to them and ask for prayers. There's also the beautiful example of a patron saint that will help parents who have wayward children. Do you know Saint Monica? No, she cried and grieved and prayed 20 years for the conversion of her son. Eventually he did convert. Eventually he became Catholic fully. And he had a powerful conversion experience. Eventually he was ordained a priest and became a bishop. And we know him as Saint Augustine. So we're not meant to fight our battles alone. We're not meant to live this life alone. We're not meant to make our pilgrimage without help from on high in heaven. The wonders that God works through his saints, and they are real signs, and they did work real miracles. But they all point to something more important. That is the salvation of our soul. Remember, our patron saints, they do inspire us, since many of them started out as sinners or were lukewarm in their faith. But God never gave up on them. And God will never give up on you. He was able to heal that deeper, more serious wound of a wounded heart and restore their heart to one that would beat with great love for God and for neighbor. Now, sometimes I imagine we daydream, myself included, and think that we could solve all of our world's problems if we can just perform miracles of physical healings. I think in our present health crisis, we would like a little more of that. No miracles for our loved ones who really suffered. But this is an illusion. Remember, Christ performed hundreds of miracles, dramatic miracles, raising the dead to life. And he was still rejected by the most influential people of his time. And the Catholic saints from all times and places have continued to perform miracles. But the majority of the people in the world are still not Christian. Miracles are signs. That there are a specific kind of sign that we need to be reconciled to God, that God not only wants to bring us physical healing, but that much more deeper healing of relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so there's another kind of sign that's even more powerful. And although we cannot all of us perform miracles, all of us can give this second kind of sign. the sign of ourselves living a holy and virtuous life. We are Christ's followers. We are Catholics. We're members of his church. We are his messengers. We are, in a sense, his ambassadors. As we strive to be the best version of ourselves, as we strive to be saints, we can inspire others around us to do the same. Every one of us, in a sense, is a living billboard for God. Day after day, by showing forth God's goodness and power, working through our example of rooting out sin and growing in responsibility and virtue and patience and concern for those in need, we are providing evidence for Christian hope that cannot be written off by a skeptic. We ourselves are meant to be living signs of God's goodness, power in this fallen world. We are called to be Christ's ongoing, long-lasting miracles. You know, it is, in a sense, a great miracle that he saves souls and reconciles them to himself in our world that has gone mad. And we must be honest, we live in a world that has gone completely bonkers, if you know what I mean. But he still works in our lives, and he can work through you to bring conversion of our culture, of our family members, in our own personal life. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're far from perfect. You know, we're all in need of growing. Rather, we just have to strive and not give up, to persevere each day, to be faithful to our friendship with Christ. And so if we do that, he'll shine through us even when we're not aware of it, spreading his light and warmth to the spiritually handicapped all around us. So as our Lord Jesus renews his commitment to us at this Mass, let's renew our commitment to do our best to be his living miracles of conversion, of good, virtuous living, living witnesses of his goodness and power to help all who we encounter to follow Christ, our good shepherd, who leads us into life everlasting. Amen.